This is David Duke. This is David Duke and DavidDuke.com and the David Duke Live Internet Radio Program, broadcasting to the world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and Americans and people of European descent, wherever they may dwell in the world, and certainly of great interest to all people of this planet, because we all face a common enemy, and that enemy is Jewish supremacism and its handmaiden globalism. Globalism, which will wipe away every individual heritage, culture, tradition, value, religion, language, and race, and really make a world that's not a world of beauty, but a world of greed, and a world of ugliness. A world where people are unhealthy, as they are increasingly becoming unhealthy by our so-called corporate existence. This unbelievable additives we have into our, in our foods around the world, the unbelievable destructive lifestyle and eating habits that's promoted by the media, whether it be soft drinks, whether it be all sorts of other kinds of behavior that destroy the beauty and really the health of our bodies. We have to go in a new direction, and that's what this program's about. It's about examining new ideas. It's also about stopping the bloodshed. And this world truly is going toward a great watershed. This world is going to be washed in blood unless we make some great changes, because the Jewish supremacists are definitely leading us to a world of global war. They talk freely. You know, Feith and Wormser and Pearl have talked freely. Even Michael Medved, the Jewish film critic, has talked freely about what they call World War IV. And they use that terminology in the sense of World War I, World War II, the Cold War, and now this war. Well, they're fostering this war. And the problem is they're getting us sucked into this war. They see advantages to this war for Israel. They see advantages for their particular brand of politics. They see advantages for their particular tribal politics. But for us, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing but destruction lying ahead. You know, it's really amazing. I was able to watch CNN a little while this morning and saw Tony Blair in Britain speak about the bombings that existed there, and he went to great lengths to say, well, he's all fire and fury and vit and vinegar, but you know, there's no substance to anything that he says. He is totally, totally in the pocket of the Jewish supremacists. In fact, his longtime aide, Lord Levy, who has absolutely been incredible in terms of his influence over Blair over the years, but he kept saying that there's no connection between the Iraq war and these bombings. These bombings have nothing to do with the Iraq war. And it's just insane, ladies and gentlemen. What do they think these bombings are about? I guarantee you the greatest animation about these people in Britain and elsewhere around the world who are bombing, doing these terrible terroristic bombings, is what's happening in Iraq, is what's happening in terms of Israel. It all is related. It's not that just these Muslims simply want to blow up British people. Some of these Muslims, in fact, live in Britain. I don't think that's a good policy either, that we have this massive immigration into our countries. And I think Islamic nations have that same wish. I think that they wouldn't want any massive European Christian immigration into our countries. But be that as it may, these people are not blowing up the subways because of, they just want to blow up subways. They're blowing up subways because they're protesting the policies of Britain and protesting the policies of Israel, which Britain supports as well as the United States supports. And this is a very destructive process, ladies and gentlemen. And we're just absolutely sucked into it now. And it's terrifying to think about where this is leading us. It's just, when you buy a plane ticket today, the travel costs are enormous. And two of the huge reasons, or the big reasons why travel cost is so expensive these days, is terrorism, of course, and the security measures necessary to protect the passengers and crew and company from terrorism. And also the price of gasoline, the price of jet fuel, which has skyrocketed. That's a pretty interesting pun there in a way. And we have a situation where as the price of oil continues to grow, and we have a peak oil situation in the world developing, we're going to have a situation in which we are literally going to have to curtail a lot of our jet travel. I can tell you that there'll be a new incentive to go toward train travel, toward other sorts of alternative travel. Because when a plane ticket, say, from New Orleans to Atlanta costs $1,500, you know, rather than anything else. Excuse me a minute. Just a second. I'll take care of that. Oh, this office is busy. Sorry about the disruption. But when the price of a ticket goes perhaps to around $1,000 just for a short flight, or $3,000 or $4,000 to Europe, I tell you there'd be a lot less flying between these nations, and even the airlines will have to cut back. That's going to affect the economy too in terms of their hiring and what's happening. So it's a tragic situation that we have going on right now in our country, and it's a tragic situation in the world, but it's certainly one being driven by the Jewish supremacists. All right, I'm going to go down into the Stormfront section now. Yesterday I read that poem from Mr. Kipling, the great British poet and writer. I love his work very much, and he certainly expressed it well when he said that that was my father's belief, and this is also mine. Let the corn be all one sheaf and the grapes be all one vine, ere our children's teeth are set on edge by bitter bread and wine. And indeed, of course, you know, what we are developing that. David Fellows writes, he says, Martin Luther King, what the media fails to report, what follows is a fascinating account of King's last years. It's clear from this account that he saw the light, and being in a position to rock the boat was a threat. The man finally saw that the true enemy of all of us, the greedy capitalists who control Western democratic nations, perhaps this is a real reason why he died. It's become a TV ritual. Every mid-January, around the time of Martin Luther King's birthday, we get perfunctory network news about the slain civil rights leader. The remarkable thing about this annual review of King's life is that several years, his last years, are totally missing. It's flushed down the memory hole. What TV viewers see is a closed loop of familiar file footage. King battling desegregation in Birmingham, reciting a stream of racial harmony at the rally in Washington, marching for voting rights in Selma, Alabama, and finally lying dead in the motel balcony in Memphis, 1968. An alert viewer might notice that the chronology jumps from 1965 to 1968. Yet King didn't take a sabbatical near the end of his life. In fact, he was speaking and organizing as diligently as ever. Almost all those speeches were filmed or taped, but they're not shown today on TV. Why? It's because the national news media has never come to terms with what Martin Luther King Jr. stood for in his final years. Noting that a majority of Americans below the poverty line were white, King developed a class perspective. He decried the huge income gaps between rich and poor and called for radical changes in the structure of our society to redistribute wealth and power. True compassion, King declared, is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It comes to see that an edifice which produces better for his needs, beggars needs restructuring. In 1967, King also became the country's most prominent opponent of the Vietnam War and a staunch critic of overall U.S. foreign policy, which he deemed militaristic. In his Beyond Vietnam speech delivered at New York's Riverside Church on April 4, 1967, a year to the day before he was murdered, King called the United States the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. Anyway, so that's some of the things about King. You know, again, I don't want to see a distribution of income in the United States of America. I know what that would do to our people, and I know how, you know, racial that kind of program is. And, you know, I don't think any solution to our problems is going to become, is to become leftists. I do think that we have to, you know, we have to make sure that working people in America can acquire reasonably affordable health care insurance. No question about that. I think that's a given. I think our kids need good schools. I think, you know, that we, you know, we should not have our Social Security being taken away from us, and that's going to truly happen. So, anyway, I got another letter from Northwest Lady, who talks about a post made by James Kelso by Cal. And she says, "Thanks for this, Cal. I was recently asked along to a social gathering where I was honored to have been able to tell Mr. Brimlow in person how much his life's work and stellar reputation and gracious truth have meant to so many, many of us working where the rubber meets the road. We found him in the late 90s, somewhat after the site started, and put the research and excellent commentary to immediate use, including the real introduction to Sam Francis. I've read his site to copy and circulate articles dealing with the business issues just about every issue in America that we need to know. They are shocked. Now they have a source and they can share with their own contacts." Well, true. Bob Whitaker says, in a very witty comment, he says, "Don't you wish America had more immigrants like Brimlow?" Which is so true, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is not immigration per se. It's the amount of immigrants and who is immigrating to America. That's the big issue facing America. "I do wish we had more immigrants like Brimlow. No, I wish all our immigrants were like Brimlow." That's Ryan back. By the way, he had a Real Player video on the main page of VDeer for anyone who wants to know. Okay. All right. And then, again, James Kelso has introduction saying that I'm on the air. I've got some emails going too, so if you want to send an email or make any comments about today's show, just go to davidduke.com and just send an email to info1@davidduke.com. You can do that either at my site, you can hit the button for an email, or you can simply send an email directly to info1@davidduke.com. We got a lot of things here. I mean, there's just so much to do and so much to talk about, and I don't know if enough I can talk about everything. Here's an interesting quote that CM sends me, and this is from Harry Truman. He says, quote, this is quotations from Truman, which you can, by the way, find in the Truman Library, right on the Internet, and he says, quote, "The Jews, I find, are very, very selfish. They care not how many Estonians, Latvians, Finns, Poles, Yugoslavs, or Greeks get murdered or mistreated as displaced persons, as long as the Jews get special treatment. Yet when they have the power, physical, financial, or political, neither Hitler nor Stalin has anything on them for cruelty or mistreatment to the underdog. Put an underdog on top, and it makes no difference whether his name is Russian, Jewish, Negro, management, labor, Mormon, Baptist, he goes haywire. I found very, very few who remember their past condition when prosperity comes." Very wise words, and that's true, and that's one of the factors, obviously, that you have when you, the factor that you have when you have multiculturalism, when you break down a nation's borders. And that's exactly what's going on in our country. There's no question about it. Let's see. Well, we got a bunch of emails. Let me see if I can find some just to share with you. Here's an interesting thing that somebody just sent me. "Egyptian experts say Mossad could be behind bombing. Several Egyptian..." This is where the great bombings took place, as you know, at the resort area on the Red Sea that the Egyptians lost. "Egyptian experts say Mossad could be behind bombings. Several Egyptian security experts and political analysts said that the Mossad, Israel's spy agency, was behind Saturday's attacks on the Red Sea resort of Sharm al-Sheikh. Similar accusations were made against Israel in the past, particularly after last year's attack at the Taba Hotel in October and after the 9/11 attacks in the United States. Saturday's pre-dawn blast killed more than 64 people, according to Egypt's health ministry, although hospital officials put the toll as high as 88. Many Egyptian security officials said at least one car used in the bombings had special plates indicating it had come from the Israeli border at Taba on the Sinai Peninsula. On Saturday, Egypt's state-run television interviewed retired Army General Fuad Alam, who said that he was confident that Israel played a key role in the Sharm el-Sheikh bombings. Fuad also said that investigations showed that the mastermind of Taba attack, which killed more than 34 people, was a Palestinian, quote, apparently linked to Israel's security forces, unquote. He added, I'm almost certain that Israel was also behind this attack because they want to undermine our government and deal a severe blow to our economy. The only one who benefits from these attacks are Israelis and Americans. Other Egyptian political figures and prominent journalists and editors interviewed by Arabic TV channels made similar accusations. Ziyad Rashan, a political expert, said that Israel is the only country that benefits from such attacks. Dismissing the idea that al-Qaeda was behind the bombings, Rashan explained, we're giving al-Qaeda more credit than it deserves. What happened here negates the possibility that the attacks were carried out by ordinary elements. This is the work of an extraordinary element, one that benefits from such attacks. All the variable details indicate that only the Israelis could have done this. Mahdi Bernawi, another security expert, said that Mossad was behind the attacks. I believe the Mossad or some other Israeli security organization carried out the attacks. Bernawi said that he believed the Sharm el-Sheikh bombings were related to the Taba attacks in which 12 Israelis were killed. Everyone knows that there are no Israelis in Sharm el-Sheikh, he said. There are only Western tourists there. That's why it's wrong to assume the perpetrators were targeting Israelis. Meanwhile, news agencies reported the Egyptian police are searching for six Pakistani citizens in connection with the Sharm el-Sheikh bombings. They have distributed photos and only six of them. So that's some of the things that are going on there in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And I've got some appointments today. We're trying to get a lot of things done. I've got to get back to Eastern Europe pretty soon to get some more teaching finished. I'm working very hard over there, too. I've got some classes in international relations to teach and some things to do, and also to get back to work on some of my books and some other material. Of course, I'll continue to do this program wherever I am in the world, and I will continue to keep you informed about what's happening in the world. I'm hoping in the very near future, when I get settled back into my teaching position and I have a little more time, I'm hoping to begin a morning about a 5-minute video update. That's right, a video update available for stormfront.org and available on davidduke.com and whitecivilrights.com. So that's going to be an interesting thing, and maybe we'll get some other websites to handle it as well. But we're talking about a 5-minute kind of a news broadcast or our morning commentary by me on video every morning. So that's something that we're thinking about starting very, very soon. That's one of the many projects that we have to do. Remember that you can take your fingers when you finish this program and use those fingers to reach many thousands of people. There are many forums you can post on. You can easily put up good links to our broadcast, good links to both Stormfront and davidduke.com and any other aspect of any other thing that you can do to bring forth this cause over to more people. I've got some more posts. Let me get some more of them done here. This is from Matt Spencer. He says, question, Mr. Duke, how important do you feel pro-white charity work and other similar forms of community outreach are toward reaching the hearts and minds of unawakened whites? What do you feel would be some of the best methods to use toward that goal? Well, Matt, I tell you what I believe about that. I think there's nothing wrong, and there's something very laudable when a white individual participates in some sort of charity. It's especially important for people involved in political work. And I remember when I was in the legislature, I involved myself in many charities. And Special Olympics was one, for instance. I am involved in many other. Red Cross was another one that I got involved in. And many other kinds of community projects and outreaches that I thought were non-political, at least certainly not against our own people and our own heritage. But I can tell you something. This is true. We've got to get our people to have a new mindset now, an absolutely different mindset. It's certainly worthwhile to contribute to the Cancer Association or Diabetics Association or Muscular Dystrophy or MS or many of these other aspects. But ladies and gentlemen, we are right now in a crisis. And that's kind of like going to the men who are on the walls of the Alamo while they're being under an onslaught of Mexicans and saying to them, look, you want to stop for a second and take out some coins for the Widows and Orphans Fund. You know, obviously, you know, we are in the middle of a crisis here, and we need to orient our people and educate our people that we should spend all of our time and almost all of our money on the most important charity of all, and that's the charity, the activity, the activism that will save our race and our heritage and our freedom. You know, let the other people take care of that. I'm a very strong, I'm not an animal rights activist because I think the PETA people are absolutely insane, but I'm very much opposed to cruelty of animals. I've always been a supporter of the SPCA. Of course, that's always been condemned now by things like PETA as well. I've always been a conservationist. And yet at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's amazing to me that we have our own people sometimes who know the truth and they'll give thousands of dollars to the support of some stray cats, and they won't spend any money at all to make sure that there are white children still in the world in a generation or two. I mean, we are literally on the verge of extinction, and I hope that we develop a mindset that will begin to address the real problems facing us. So, there we go. Oh, we have something here by Don. It says, but David Duke on Sunday night, apparently there's been a change in schedule. I wasn't familiar with that particular change in schedule. I know what's happened here. It's my refresh. I used to be on Sunday night. I'm looking at a very old post. Sometimes my computer just doesn't go to the last postings. So anyway, so those are some of the issues and some of the ideas, and I want to give one more little section here. And the Free Zindel Now says there's an excellent little video today. It's a kind of media along with New Orleans Conference DVDs that really needs to be aired on public access televisions across the country. Do you have any experience with the strategy? Has anybody been able to get last year's conference played? You know, you can do that. You can get public access, but you got to go in there personally. They don't take things by mail, and you sometimes have to fill out some forms. It's worth doing the work to do that. And he's referring to a video called Understanding the Jews. So it's kind of our Understanding Anti-Semitism, actually, is the name of the video. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it for me today, and I'll certainly be back with you tomorrow. I certainly appreciate, again, all your work and all your activism for our cause, wherever you are. And I hope that you certainly, again, use those fingers and use that mind when this program's over. And I'll try to archive the program very soon, but to get out there and hit the other internets and give a lot of links to our articles. The last few articles at davidduke.com have really gotten a tremendous response around the world. And the fact that so many of you spread these articles and distribute these articles electronically throughout the world is one of the reasons for that. And that's what's going to make this program either a success. And without that kind of support, this program will fail. And that means that if we fail, then we're failing really in our task to save our people. And that's the bottom line. We've got to succeed in all these efforts, my friends. Okay, that's about it. This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.